tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new season, a new show, really. Pretty much a new episode of AfterBuzz Homeland, a new show, a reboot, reestablishment. We reset the button and things are starting over, starting, I guess, with me. Thaddeus Massey is not here today, but he will be back as your lead host. However, I am Nando Velasquez, returning from last season. We have lost Lauren Leonelli, unfortunately.
She's still alive.
She's still alive. But she's hunting down Rupert Friend, so she's looking for Peter Quinn. Coincidentally, the second she leaves, Rupert Friend, you know, Peter Quinn has a sex scene. So go figure.
She's probably at home freaking out right now.
She's probably at home losing her mind.
Losing out. But let me introduce two new members of the group that are joining us. First of all, directly to my side here is Lexi Hammersfar.
Hi guys, so glad to be here.
Awesome.
Did he say your last name right?
Yes, he did. The ham is far away.
I will not forget it because of that.
Analogy.
The ham is far away. And joining me, a reunion of sorts from 24.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Danny Hoyt.
Hi, guys. Danny Hoyt here.
Yeah. And I didn't mention this, but so funny that drones were a big part of 24.
They were.
And drones seem to be a big part, at least so far this season. They seem to at least be on the forefront.
24-esque.
24-esque.
Yes.
Well,
there
definitely.
A little bit.
A
couple teasers.
Well, you know, with Howard Gordon on here as an executive producer, we expect some similarities in 24 from season one. But yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be covering for this next 45, 50 minutes, so we don't have much time, the first 2 hours of the show, which was The Drone Queen and Trilon and Ferrisphere, I believe is how you say it. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Those are the names of the first two episodes. But let's talk about this because I think out of all the shows that were returning this fall, that Homeland had the biggest mystery, the biggest question mark, the biggest press behind it because of the death of, if you guys don't know, if you're watching this show, you should know that one of their main characters.
Spoiler alert.
Thank you very much, Sean Everton.
Spoiler alert.
That we lost a major character. Actually, he's right up on our screen here if you're watching.
Yeah, let's mention that. Brody. This is the last time we'll use this picture. It's an homage to Brody.
Yes, absolutely. Nicholas Brody hung by the throat till dead at the end of season 3.
And what a way to end. That's why there was so much press, is because people had no idea where you're going to go with the show.
Well, so much anticipation.
How could you possibly get us hooked back in?
Well, people thought that this show hinged on the relationship between Carrie and Brody.
It did.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't now.
It doesn't now.
It can't now.
Yeah.
Because he's gone. Unless you do a lot of flashbacks or a prequel or something.
But I think to be honest, that was a question in my mind. Like, what is going to hook me? What could I possibly tune back in to see? What's going to be the big debacle? There was a lot of stage setting, but there was definitely some things that I think I'm very excited to see what happens.
I know that we were talking about it at the end of last season with Lauren and Thaddeus, and they both were not as optimistic as I was. I felt, you know, you have the reset button. Yeah. I mean, you kind of dug yourselves into a corner. Mm-hmm. So what do you guys think so far from seeing the first 2 hours? Do you agree with that, or do you think, what do you think?
I think that there was so much anticipation leading up to this season premiere, and from what I saw from the tweets after the show ended online, I mean, they absolutely delivered with the season premiere. They revamped it. They redid it. There was so much excitement in the episode, or the two episodes. I'm so excited for the rest of the season.
Great. What do you think, Danny?
You know what? Like I said, I was really skeptical. I do like what they did. I think it took a long time to get there, but you kind of have to do that. That's inevitable. Mm-hmm. You have to set the stage a little bit. And I even said this while we were watching, the three of us watched together. It took till about 45 minutes into the first episode before I started feeling that Homeland anxiety feeling that was what kept me coming back the last three seasons. So I am excited. I do think there's some developments I'd like to see. There was one thing in the teasers at the end, and we can talk about this later, but they said something about the relationship and feelings between Quinn and Carrie, which is a whole story that I want to see played out, because it's been something that I wasn't on the show, but that was my
prediction. One of
it's been building up.
Yeah, yes. It's always been building up, but with Brody in the picture, you never really could go there because Carrie was so infatuated
and
with everything
can.
Brody.
Yeah.
And now we finally can go there. So it's going to be really interesting. I read it on one of the articles online that they said pretty much Peter Quinn is the leading man. Rupert Friend is the leading man now of Homeland. I mean, Mandy Patinkin's always in it. He's always, he's a linchpin.
Well, it looks like he's going to come into play a lot.
And he's going to come into play. But as far as any kind of sexual tension, as far as a character that has a lot of action,
it could never be with Saul.
It could never be with
Saul. Fans would riot if it was Carrie and Saul.
I don't even want to picture that.
Yeah, I can't do that. Oh my gosh. Speaking of beards, nice beard, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. This is my Saul look. I got my Saul look for the new season,
appreciate
apparently.
That's dedication right there.
That
man.
Is dedication to a show. That's absolute dedication to a show. So let's just briefly talk about where the cast left off at the end of last season. Yeah. We know about Brody. Carrie was getting a position in Istanbul as the chief of the agency over there for CIA. Mm-hmm. Saul was getting moved out by Lockhart. It was after a very tumultuous back and forth between those two guys. It ended up on a good high note because of the success of the mission from season 3, which has now Iran more or less, they have their man from Iran in there to work with the U.S., and they were able to get the sanctions. They were able to get people in there to inspect the nuclear project over in Iran. But anyway, so Saul kind of left somewhat of a hero. He's in the private sector.
And
Lockhart's
I was a fan of this personally, by the way.
Of what?
Because I hated the rift between Saul and his wife, and I really wanted to see a little bit of resolve there.
Yeah.
I wanted to see...
Right.
I think he deep down hated it as well, but that was his job. That's what he's passionate about. But he wanted, obviously to be there with his wife. So I kind of was excited to see where they went with that. I think that's going to be a sub-storyline as well. Again.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to definitely come into play. But we see Saul kind of going into the private sector and spending time with his wife. And Quinn, we didn't really know what was going to happen to him at the end of the last season. But Lockhart's in charge. That's pretty much where we left it off. We start off with this, the first episode, pretty much seeing Carrie out in the field. But it's not in Istanbul.
Mm-mm.
It's over in Kabul.
Over
in Afghanistan, I believe. And I thought it was a really interesting scene. I just want to bring up, we're not going to go chronologically because we don't have time to go through everything, but I do want to bring up the first scene of the show was her in a car driving through Afghanistan and getting out, taking a walk in what seemed to be a really bad part of town in the middle of the night.
It seemed a little unrealistic to me, honestly, that there was only one security guard with her walking through the streets.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're in Kabul, knowing how dangerous it is, you would have more than just one person guarding you.
Yeah.
Especially when she's so high profile for the CIA.
Well, high profile, but not outed, kind of like
not
we'll
outed,
see later.
No.
Yeah, kind of still. But still, you stand out in a Middle Eastern country when you're blonde, blonde hair,
in a business suit.
A business suit. Yeah. So kind of a little risky. But we always knew from Carrie before that she didn't always make the most sense when she came up with these ideas. So, and we see her taking a quick walk, a little jaunt down the street.
A jaunt, if you will.
A jaunt. Until she gets a call to come into, back over to home base over there, where she is talking to one of the new characters from the season, although a little short-lived, Corey Stoll.
I think when she got this phone call, by the way, it gave us an insight into how important she was. She got the call, she said, I'll be right there, and as soon as she came in, it was like game time. Like, really how important and crucial she is to what she was doing.
Yeah.
I think there were some questions to, her mental stability obviously has always been a question, so how serious and how trusted she was. But we got an idea into that.
Well, again, I think you're absolutely right. It takes, just to see the first 5 minutes of the show, we see her giving orders, even orders with the military to stop the car. I want to walk. It's something kind of like you could see the president, like in other shows, like a president saying, I want to take a walk. I don't care. You guys come with me. She's kind of like something of in power. Where she gets to command the military. And the second she comes in, she's being debriefed. She goes into a secure uplink room to talk to Sandy, who we find out is the chief of station chief over in Islamabad. And they're working together over this bombing over Hassan Haqqani, I believe I'm saying the name correctly, who's like the fourth, number four on their most wanted list as far as high value targets. And what we learn, first of all, also to bring up, this takes place, I guess, about a year roughly. They didn't say exactly how far, but about a year later, because obviously Carrie had the kid, which we don't see right away.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's been at least a few months old. So, we see them working together, and apparently Sandy has a source. That they've gotten some high value targets before.
A dark source.
A dark source.
Mysterious.
Very mysterious. And we see that this target right now is very different. It's a very different day as far as mm-hmm. we're concerned, because mm-hmm. Carrie automatically is not comfortable with the time frame as far as when they have to attack. Apparently they have a very limited time window before he escapes, before he leaves, and she's feeling a lot of pressure. So and Sandy says, look, you know, we always double confirm these, but my source is solid. We're good. So Carrie makes the decision, after checking with her sources, checking for Pakistani airspace, checking drones. Mm-hmm. They end up using F-15s instead, mm-hmm. To actually bomb this remote house. I mean, my thoughts are actually, I mean, it seems cut and dry. I mean, it seems on the surface like she's checked everything out.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel the same way, or what do you guys feel about that whole scene?
I think if you're in a time restriction, then there's only so much that you can do before you lose this target who's so high up on your kill list. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that she went through what she thought was a full checklist, and then made a decision. You don't have a lot of time to bring a lot of emotions into that, in my opinion.
Well, yeah. I don't feel like she took any shortcuts. She did what she could with the time that was allotted, and I think she did what would most people would do in that situation. So I had no fault in that. I feel like she had legitimate questions, but in the time frame, you can't do everything that you want to necessarily do. So mm-hmm. she did what was best.
I feel
your judgment.
Yeah. I feel many people would probably not make as many questions, have as many questions as Carrie did, and not put as much emphasis into this as she did. And we see that, you know, eventually this becomes somewhat of a mistake. I mean, I guess you could see both sides of it.
Right. But again, even the process of it validated for me where like that she's like fully back to 100% capacity, operational capacity, back mm-hmm. to like Carrie with zero mental side issues, at least in that moment.
At least in that moment. We see that it obviously is going to probably have an effect on her later on this season, once she finds out that they actually bombed a wedding and there were 40 civilians in there that were all members of Hassani's family.
Yeah, but at first she looked kind of like cold-blooded to it, like when she first saw Quinn and he was like, well, it doesn't bother you? And she just kind of like,
I think she justified it.
She
kind of like Sandy did, you know?
But she was able to compartmentalize.
Mm. Well,
that's part of the job.
You know, I'll bring something up. You reminded me of something. I'll bring that up in a second. But one thing I wanted to say that was also really weird is right after, and we see the shot from the satellite, and all of a sudden you see this house, bird's eye view, and then boom. Totally gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the next second later, they bring out a birthday cake.
Yeah.
And they say, for she's a jolly good fellow.
Mm-hmm.
And which I thought was such a weird, I mean, I guess it's awesome in a weird way, you know, to see this scene, to see them just celebrate a death with a birthday.
I thought about this. Here's what was interesting to me. She said, I believe it was the chief or whoever the guy that was that she was talking to said that they were hijacking off a NATO satellite.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was different in that as soon as they were done, they backed off somebody. They were on somebody else's transmission. It wasn't like their uplink and then, okay, let's shut it down and do the whole. It was like they were not illegally, but they were on something they shouldn't have been on. So as soon as they were done, they cut it off. I felt like that was easier to remove yourself from that situation and be like, okay, next, as opposed to like winding down and debriefing from a process.
I guess it's just so weird because it was kind of like
it's also probably pretty realistic. If you're over there and it's your birthday,
okay,
you might have just done a drone strike, but there's the cake.
We just killed somebody.
Well, even like when later on Maggie was like, how's your day? She's like, interrogated two suspects, you know, ran blah, blah, blah. It was like, that's the norm.
Hmm.
And to them in the moment, they don't know right then that it's a wedding. So all they know is that, hey, they just killed number four on their list.
Yep.
That. I totally get the whole wedding thing. I just think it's kind of weird. And also, just so weird. It's kind of like very like The Office, a TV show, the way they celebrate the birthday. It was like, hey, it's a really awkward little birthday cake.
the drone queen,
which I think says so much about her character that they call it, because it's like the ice queen, the drone queen.
The drone queen.
How much more robotic or, you know, it's like an insult in a weird way. But she
backwards
just,
way.
Yeah, in a backwards way. But she kind of accepts it because she is, at that moment, kind of robotic. You have to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After a death like that.
Ugh. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that's a really funny name, the drone queen. And to keep talking about drones, even though the drones didn't use drones, at least to do the bombing in this case. So, so she celebrates her birthday, and then we find out, that it was a wedding, that, they did confirm the kill. They saw it on TV, but and obviously the Islamic Taliban is upset and they're swearing for revenge. Like you said, Sandy and Carrie pretty much have the same theory. It's like all those people there, they should have known what they were in for.
That really interested me, the way that Sandy said that. He's like, well, you know, that was their decision. They knew what was that he endangered them, not us.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting how he pushed it off on them, and then she reiterated that to Quinn later, and he said, well, Sandy said the same thing.
He put their lives at risk, not us. But I think what's interesting about that too is that technically she had the same issues with Brody. I mean, she was kind of in Brody's crossfire. Yeah. She was a casualty of war through Brody. And kind of like in the same way that perhaps his family, you know, may know that Azani's a terrorist and they know what they're in for if they're spending any time with him. You know, Carrie's spending time with Brody all those past three seasons. So I think it was really like her mentality is like, hey, it happened to me. You know, that's the way it is. If you associate yourself with these kinds of people. It is what it is.
Guilt by association.
Yeah. And then the other interesting thing I want to bring up about Carrie definitely in the beginning is we noticed, you know, pills were a big deal for her in the past couple of seasons.
Huge deal.
Freaking Lush. Ambien and wine?
Yes, absolutely. Yikes. That could be very lethal. That can be, you know, but obviously she's having trouble sleeping. That's why she's doing the combination. Yeah. People do that, even though it's not a safe
Right.
It's not a safe thing to do.
No.
But at least it's not her usual medication. It's just something to cope with the lack of sleep that she's been having over there. And of course she's also checking in on her baby, on Franny, who's staying with her sister. Last season, when she was still contemplating about keeping the baby or not, her dad, actually said he would take care of the baby if it came down to it. Her dad was apparently with the baby in that first scene, and that's why we didn't see him technically. Her sister played by Amy Hargreaves, but, you know, this is unfortunate. If you follow the news, James Rebhorn, who played her dad, actually passed away.
Yeah.
That was really so sad. Yeah. So it's a you know, rather than I guess talking about his death, at least for right now, they're just writing him off camera. They're writing him off camera at least.
Right.
So if anyone has any questions, why we saw a lot of her sister and not her dad, who was a pretty big player in the first three seasons.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's why. So it's a shame, but you know.
Yeah, he was a great actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a really really
actually,
good
first
actor.
First, remember from Meet the Parents. It
really?
Was a big shot. Pick the shot, Fokker. It was a big... Yeah, great actor. That's sad. But I think the way they did it was appropriate.
Yeah.
So.
But we definitely find out that Carrie is keeping away from Franny. Mm-hmm. She could have taken the station over in Istanbul, but she chose a different station that was a lot more volatile and more action. And probably for someone like her who loves to be in the middle of the action, it's probably great for her, but it also keeps her away from Franny.
I think that's the bigger thing, is that it keeps her away from Franny, because Franny is such a reminder of Brody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has the red hair.
And looks so much like him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they got a good baby for that. They got a good, yeah, they got a good baby.
Yeah.
Whoever casted that baby did a great job. Yeah, I think her reasons are multifaceted. I wouldn't say that the majority of it is Franny. My personal opinion, I think the majority is that she likes the action. She wants to feel involved. She wants to make decisions. She wants to have power.
Yeah.
Which we saw her have, but I do think Franny is part of the decision.
And she was wrestling with this in the season finale last season.
Yeah.
She was definitely wrestling with, she wanted to be back out in the field. She's a company girl and she wants to be out there in the middle of it. And I think some of it too is she's running away from Brody and avoiding it. And part of that involves Franny, obviously. So we see her definitely just dealing with things her own way with Ambien and wine and throwing herself into work. So we get introduced to Sandy. We talked a little bit about him over. He's the chief agent over at Islamabad. But Peter Quinn is also over there. We should talk about him.
Rick and Peter Quinn.
Because, Lauren Leonelli's favorite person, Peter Quinn. So he is over there, and he seems to be, I think the thing with him, he had a bit of crisis of conscience last season after killing that kid in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And first of all, my first thought is really, even though we kind of knew he was coming back, it's a bit of a surprise to see him out in the field, especially when he really wanted to quit last season, and he had moments where he wanted to get out of the government job and tired of being an assassin. But he's out in the field, out in the Middle East, over in Islamabad, which is probably not much better than Kabul, even though we find out later that Carrie asked him to come with her and he refused. And we see him and the ambassador, played by, I have her name, Layla Robbins, who is also from In Treatment. She was great as the ambassador for Pakistan, trying to... trying to figure out what, you know, this whole aftermath of the wedding and talk to Sandy. So, we end up, just to race things along, we end up having, Sandy, and it's gonna be a meeting. Everyone's being called into Islamabad. So Carrie, being the only person who wasn't there, has to fly in. So we definitely get to see a little conversation between Carrie and Quinn. And we definitely see, again, that crisis of conscience. So why do you think that it's really interesting to see that Quinn doesn't want to be with Carrie? Even though we know something's going to happen somewhere down the line, at least for starters, what do you think is on Quinn's mind to keep him resistant to at least in the very beginning?
Well, while some of his troubles haven't been directly her fault, she's been the crux of, like, the common denominator of what's led him down some of these paths where he's had to make some questionable calls that have gone against his better judgment. And I think put him in places where he's had to do things like the situation that happened with the kids. So I think he looks at her as trouble. And while there's a lot of good things, it's mostly been complicated processes and decision making that he wouldn't have otherwise been in.
Yeah.
Necessarily, you know?
No.
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's what he just said. I think it's a lot of complications that has to do with Carrie, and like we find out later in the episode, how maybe Sandy wouldn't have died had Carrie not been there. Mm-hmm. And so I think that all of this kind of plays into the fact that Quinn holds resentment, but has a lot of struggles when it comes to facing Carrie and dealing with Carrie. But he's still always there for her.
He still seems to care about her, even though he doesn't want to be around
her. Right. I think at the end of the day, he has her best interest in mind. He just, if he could choose, he chooses not to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Before we go on with Quinn, I also want to bring up Saul, just because we get to see Saul in the very beginning too. He also has a similar kind of relationship with Carrie, where Carrie doesn't seem to want to talk to him in the beginning, because we see him in the private sector. He's a company man too, so it's a funny scene where he's with the government and he's here to promote his security program, his task force that he has, and here he is actually giving the government advice.
Right, and he's off in another zone. And I want to bring this up too, because I mentioned this earlier, the first time we see him with his wife, he misses a dinner that was set up, and he apologizes. It's the same Saul that we saw last season. So even though he's in the private sector, he still missed a dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he missed it. And he missed it for the government. He missed it to do his meeting with the government.
And I just, I instantly was like, so that's when I kind of got the tip. I think we also had the, like, okay, this is going to be a storyline again.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, you said we'd do New York for 3 years and blah, blah, blah.
Such a nice apartment over there they're at. They're going to get
so
a place
nice.
On.
Yeah. Holy, they got space.
Yeah.
It's nice.
This beautiful little place and you know, has a chance to rest and relax. But, you know, again, Saul, kind of like Carrie, company man, can't really sit still.
Yeah.
He can't sit still at all. He wants to be involved. And you know, he cares about the government so much that he's willing to. He actually said the best salesmen are the ones that were also honest, you know.
Yeah.
He's just brutally honest to the government and telling them about their 14-year wars as opposed to one 14-year war.
I love that line. It was
not a 14-year war we've been waging, but a 1-year war waged 14 times.
Yeah.
That
yes.
struck all. I think we all were like, let me write that down.
No, absolutely. So we definitely see Saul trying to cope with private life, living, you know, being at home. So very, very interesting.
But you know what? The next time that we saw Saul kind of piggybacking off of what you said is when he's looking at the YouTube video getting stomped, and you see the wife kind of like go in and she's just watching him, and he's just so into it and doesn't notice that she's there.
Yeah.
So he's very much still ingrained and interested in
absolutely
his former life.
Absolutely. So we're going to bounce around a little bit here just to get to the major points. But one scene I do want to bring up before we get to, like, I want to get to Sandy, especially from that first hour, because that was just amazing. I want to talk about the pilot who actually confronts Carrie in the bar, because that was another really awesome scene. And I think as meticulous as Carrie was in the very beginning, trying to figure out whether or not she should bomb this place, it goes to show the ramifications even amongst her own people.
Yeah.
When she carries out an order like that. And even though the public out in the Middle East thought it was a drone attack, it obviously wasn't. It was a pilot who actually got to shoot, you know, to bomb this wedding and kill these 40 people.
And I think that's interesting because she, you know, when she gave the order, it's just smash 11, smash 12, bomb the farmhouse, but then she finally puts a name, puts a face to the code name or whatever his secret name is. And I thought that was a very interesting scene because she was kind of facing her demons in a foreshadowing way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, and the fact that he even referenced, he's like, look, I got misinformation. I had to bomb and kill 4 Canadian soldiers. So it's like a pattern in his life. So mm-hmm. I can understand him being like that. I can't believe he spoke to her the way he did.
Yeah.
And she responded that way. And no one around takes note of this. Like, not some Yahoo at the bar, nobody playing pool. Like, notices this man in uniform is cussing out this lady, and she does it back.
I wonder if that's a government bar or something. It must have been like
American music.
Yeah. But no other guy or nobody in there is going to be like, well, hold. You don't talk to a lady that way, like, hello.
Yeah.
No,
I don't know.
Rude.
That was kind of an interesting. Do you think he comes back into play?
I don't think so, because I don't see any reason why he would come back into play. He was somebody following orders, and it was a scene to show that even with all, I mean, she's obviously tormented over because her reaction was to pretty much tell him to F off.
Right away.
Yeah, there was a lot of FUs in this show, people reacting with a lot of little FUs in this show. I think if anything, that scene was to show to Carrie how affected she really was by it, and the fact that she didn't take that bombing as lightly as it might have seemed in the very beginning when it was just like, on a screen in the background. But I think that's an amazing, I think what I love about this show is it doesn't make it as, I mean, people might think of the U.S. as the enemies, but I think it definitely shows both sides in a very different light and shows the complexity and the conflict that people struggle with when it comes to these kinds of decisions that they make, like Carrie had to make at the beginning of the show. But regardless, part of the reason why all of this is going down is because we have a new character, an amazing new character named Ayan, who's played by Suraj Sharma, who, if you recognize him, he was actually Pi from The Life of Pi, which is a great movie.
Okay, I thought he looked kind of familiar. Okay.
Yeah. So he is going to be a reoccurring character, and he was at the wedding. He is related to Haskani, and he was one of the few survivors from the bombing. And very interesting character. He obviously, again, very interesting. He's not your typical, Lockhart said it later on. It's like, this guy actually makes some sense. He's more rational. He's level-headed.
Well, and he's what made it feel a little 24-esque for me was his involvement in the show. The way they watched him, the way they looked at him with the drone, and he looks back up.
Yeah.
The way they even, you know, on the campus, that he's what made it feel 24-esque to me, the way he's kind of become involved. But I do like it. I like that it's something else that's operating. And as we saw in the teasers, oh my gosh, it's going to be such a big part of the show.
Obviously. And in the very beginning, I was wondering what side he was playing on when he looked up at the drone that was shooting him by all those dead bodies.
It's kind
of
like, are you going to come back?
It was kind of like, you know, like a little like, I'm going to get you type of thing for a second.
Well, let's talk about how much that drone zoomed in. And I have friends in the military who say they can literally read a postage stamp from drones. Like, that's if you set a postage stamp on the ground.
Yeah.
The drones can read. I mean, I'm sure this is not like not common knowledge. People know this, but still, the fact like that's realistic. What they were doing is like zooming in on his face.
Well, we saw that a little bit in 24 when we did 24
Live
Another
Day.
Yeah,
but still blows my mind.
It's still, I think that was a very creepy scene to have someone just stare. I don't know who was more creep. It was what was more creepy, that the drone could get that close to him, or he's just staring up and like going right through the satellite, right into that room, and it was just like freaking everybody out. It was such a creepy little scene. And for a second I thought, oh God, this guy's going to be like the new figurehead, or he's going to be a bomber or something. And what we see that he just wants to live a normal life. He goes to school. He's studying to be a doctor of some sort, at least. And his roommate, Raheem, seems to be more the...
venture capitalist.
Yes, venture capitalist.
Trying to capitalize on this idea.
Yeah. Capitalize on the fame, capitalize on the anger.
Yeah.
And he wants to, and we see this video when Ayan's going home of the wedding, which incidentally everybody has an iPhone. We were talking about that. Everyone seems to have an iPhone, no matter who you are.
A 3GS, a 4, a 4S, which were the prevalent iPhone models in this episode.
And we see this video of a wedding celebration, and we see a shot of Ayan. He grabs the phone, turns it around to the women who were holding it, who we're guessing might have been his mom or his sister, because he mentioned them. And then we see the explosion.
Yeah.
Really, really terrible scene. And he wants to keep it hidden, or at least he wants to keep it for himself. Raheem knows about the video. He wants to blast it because he feels the Americans need to pay for this. People need to know what the Americans did. And Ayan just doesn't want the notoriety. He's afraid of the trouble it's going to bring. And Raheem, he just seems to be in it for who knows what reasons, and starts this whole thing off with Ayan. Now he's a public figure. Now he's being followed by one journalist, but still, it's enough for him to get, attention.
You know, I thought that interview with the journalist was so interesting, the way that he responded to the question about his family being killed. And he was like, how is that any different than what we did yeah. to that man being Sandy. Mm-hmm. And I love that he was so level-headed and saw that it was basically the same thing. It was bigger with 40 murders, but you were still killing innocent people.
It's a great soundbite. I don't know if it's a great soundbite if you're living in the middle of Pakistan.
Yeah.
Because obviously there were people who feel very differently. And I think he gets to see, we see later on in the episode, he gets to see both sides of it. People who are, who don't want any part of it, who feel like he's a terrorist because of his association to his uncle. And then people on the other side who want to see him probably more as a figurehead, who probably want to use manipulate him for their cause, for their jihad.
That must be just such a hard position to be in. Cause I can understand, I can understand not wanting to be associated with him because he's associated with a family. It's guilt by association.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
Absolutely. And we also see we'll touch upon him maybe at the very end, but we see Raheem obviously gets him in trouble. We see at the very end. I love how Raheem didn't get in trouble. It was like he got threatened, but I saw Raheem getting interviewed too, but I guess he wasn't seen. But we do see that at one point, Ayan takes all this medicine of some sort. You were writing it down. I don't know if you were looking it up. I didn't have a chance to write it down. But took all the stuff out of his dorm room and was hiding it someplace.
Yeah, it was like Iazaron or something. My dad's a physician, so I texted him and he didn't even know what it was. Okay. He said there's something similar that's like a testosterone.
Okay.
And when I looked it up online, there was something that looked like that medicine in a foreign language, but it said testosterone next to it. So
interesting.
So I don't know if that has something to play, or maybe he was just afraid of getting robbed.
No, it's definitely. They show the names of the, like, on the stuff, the serum.
Yeah.
So it's going to come into play.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
I just want to know what it is.
All right. Let's move along, because there's a lot to cover still, but let's talk about Sandy, because this is the point where you said it started to feel really, really typical Homeland or 24S, like when Sandy got outed by who knows what. It could
anxiety.
Have been his source,
yep.
but he got outed. It was on the screen at the airport when Carrie and Quinn saw it, and we saw this amazing scene. He obviously was out on the field. Nobody knew about it. He was being very secretive because he had this contact that he was deleting the texts
X
on the iPhone, and he's going to
iPhone
meet them
4S.
On the iPhone 4S, and he has the keys to this room that he's going to meet
the source
in.
Those keys don't work, that's when I was like, oh, stuff's
You're
about
done.
To get
it's
real.
A setup. Yep, yep. I felt he was a goner. I totally felt. I did not.
I didn't think he'd be a goner.
And when the woman opened the door,
and
I was like, "You're dead.
And
you're
like,
done."
That's that. That's that like cliche like Wild Wild West scene where people are like, "Oh, there's gonna be a shootout. I want to get out of it." You know. Yeah. But really high intensity, really really crazy. I actually, for some reason, I just felt he was gonna be gone when he first left the place. I'm like, something's weird here. But,
he should have brought a hat.
He should have brought a hat.
Or
Bro,
sunglasses.
Bring a
Actually,
hat.
When he first escaped and he was running through laundry, I thought the smart thing would have been to grab something, put it over your head.
Yeah, or put your gun underneath your undershirt and take your jacket and tie it around your head. Like,
change your outfit at
take
least.
Take your pants off.
I know.
He was not very smart about that.
Not very smart.
Do something.
Yeah.
And we see for a moment, I mean, we see the intensity out in the street, and we notice that, Carrie and Quinn come to save the day for what we think is the moment. But they get stuck.
What I thought was crazy was that people lifted up the car so it couldn't go anywhere. I've never seen that before.
That was scary.
That freaked me out.
I was like, yeah, just go in reverse.
You can do that. I didn't know you could do that. But like, for real, that's when, and I thought at that moment they should have just like either like jumped up and down or like rocked the car, like get traction, mow people over if you have to. I know that sounds terrible, but like get out of there at all costs. Mm.
No, it's totally crazy. And I think what's really interesting, I mean, first of all, Corey Stoll should never do a scene that involves a car.
Agreed.
Because this and House of Cards, he does not do well in cars. But what a crazy scene to see him. Everyone just attacking and breaking in. There's no extra gun in the back for Carrie. They only have that one gun. And I noticed, I saw this episode twice.
Where is this gun, by the way, that was in the back seat?
I don't know.
Where is this
That's
gun?
Interesting, too. I wonder if that has something to do, because there's something weird going on that there was no gun back there. But what I also thought was interesting was Quinn, well, we could talk definitely more about this. Quinn hesitated. I you might not notice it, but if you watch it again, he hesitates before he takes the first shot, and it's only when someone's practically already in, like they're halfway in the car,
like
trying to
shooting
at
point
once
blank
you do
range.
That you can't go back.
Yeah
that's what it is, because I know he's just conflicted, and I feel like at that point he was still waiting, trying to figure out a way out, and then he finally took that first shot. It was like a 2 second
well
wait.
Full circle to come back when they finally pull back up to the embassy and he's like, give me a minute. No, I need a minute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that was directly related to his hesitation and the reasons for it.
But so we see him get pulled, we see Sandy get pulled out and just mobbed. And Carrie's like, let's go get him. And Peter's Quinn's like, no, he's gone. We gotta go. And they leave. So we notice that this is probably gonna become an issue later on in the season. There's definitely going to be a lot of talk about this because obviously Carrie said she's going to report on it, that she felt they could have done something. And Quinn is dealing with the ramifications of this. What do you think? Do you think, I mean, based on that scene, I would not have gone out there.
When you have 30-something plus people surrounding the car, I don't know what you could do.
With bricks and poles and rocks and other sharp objects? Right. Hello.
Yeah.
How did no one in that crowd have a gun? This is what I understand. When Sandy first walks down, he pulls out his gun. He's got people coming at him from both sides. First of all, he pulls this move like he's a superhero. Ari Ugin, both of them with some powers or whatever. But like he pulls out his gun and no one else has a gun. That blew my mind.
Yeah. No, it's, well, I would think that they have some kind of gun control laws. I mean, it's a little crazy over there. Anyone with a gun is probably considered a terrorist walking out in the street for all you know. I mean, seriously, by the police or whatever, trying to control the peace. I'm sure they have some laws against that.
Yeah.
But really, really crazy scene. We see, let's just, you know, let's move along to talk about Quinn some more because Carrie and Quinn end up going back with the body of Sandy, R.I.P. Sandy, back to the D.C. to meet up with Lockhart.
Yeah.
And Quinn just spirals into a really, really interesting way. He gets real drunk.
Really drunk.
He goes Jason Bourne on the guys at the freaking Waffle House.
Yeah.
My gosh.
And that manager, played by, I believe, Emily Walker. I think I wrote her name, but I couldn't find her on IMDb.
Who's going to come back into play, guaranteed.
For sure.
Yep.
Well, we'll see. I mean, because I have a feeling Quinn's going to be going back to the Middle East. But
bet money she comes back.
All right, we'll see about that.
What were you betting before on 24?
I can't remember. But anyway, so we see her as the manager of the apartment complex that he paid in advance for, and then we cut to a sex scene. First sex scene Peter Quinn's ever been
Lauren,
in.
Oh my god!
Where are you?
Lauren!
I don't think she wanted to see that. You guys are kind of like, whoa!
Or does she want to see it in a backward? Yeah, they just caught me off guard. That was a little like...
Yeah.
I did not expect
allude to it. You don't have to like give us like the full-on picture.
Well, she wasn't naked or anything. It was underwear.
Show like a bra flying across the room and then go fade to black.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it was just meant to be as shocking as Sandy's death was.
Well, but it also is shocking for a reason because they want us to show how quickly Quinn just spiraled out of control. Not that there's anything wrong with whatever, but just like the really like his, he went full on.
Yeah. Well, we definitely saw that when he actually beat up on those guys in the diner to, you know, to protect his new girlfriend, you know, more or less, because they were teasing her. But I think what's just as interesting...
By the way, I love that. I hate guys like that.
Oh, me too.
I love when there's... I hate injustice more than anything, and I love when there's justice.
Oh,
my favorite.
And even though he was spiraling out of control when he did beat those guys up, I thought that was so great that he stuck up for her in that way.
Yeah. That's the other thing. He's so noble. I mean, she was even like after the day at the morning after, she's like, look, I get it. You were drunk. And if you want...
Breakfast.
He took her to breakfast.
She was shocked when he's like, grab breakfast. She was like... Yeah.
He wanted to hear her. Like he wanted to listen to her. I mean, he was just really, really caring. I mean, she wrote that little note at the very end that said,
that
no one ever fought for me before with the little lipstick on it. And I thought that was really touching.
I thought that was so sweet.
That was a really touching
thing.
Yeah. But Quinn goes to jail. Carrie gets him out. And then later on, we discover Carrie's trying to bring, once Carrie gets the job at Islamabad, she's trying to bring Quinn back, but he doesn't want to go back. So right now, he's in a bit of a, still there. But I actually think that letter, no one ever fought for me before. I think he can relate that to Carrie as well, because Carrie is standing for him and wants him on her side. So I think that might come back.
That's an interesting
to get him back.
I kind of, when I saw that note, I thought, oh, you know, this is going to be what convinces him to go back for Carrie.
No, absolutely. I think that is. So we'll talk a little bit more about Carrie back in the States. First of all, she's a terrible mom. Let's just get that out of the way. It's obvious she's avoiding. She's having all these scenes with her sister. And I mean, I didn't notice it because I don't have a kid. But you know, she puts Franny in the front seat, which you're not supposed to do.
How did no one say anything about it? I thought that for sure, like somebody jogging on the corner, or that homeboy that was in the archives. What's his name?
Harris.
I thought somebody would be like, "Are you an idiot?" I think that the reason they did all this stuff with the baby, though, with Franny, and like even the bathtub scene where she, you know, contemplates, which made me almost sick to my stomach, because we need to feel on the fence about Carrie. We need to feel on the fence about somebody, and obviously it has to be the main character of the show.
Yeah.
And that's the crux of the reason that I don't trust Carrie, is because of we see these kind of behind-the-scenes things. While she's making decisions that are important, and apparently she's doing it the right way, she's making these scenes in her real life that are... not okay.
That bath time scene, I
that was
creepy. Disgusted by her. I mean,
That absolutely. No, absolutely. Really awful. And obviously she's having issues. She at first says she's only in town for a few days, but then Lockhart grounds her, says she's staying. So her sister must be really hating her. It's like, I'm staying for a couple of days. No, I'm staying for good. No, I'm leaving on the next plane. Yeah. So, definitely we'll probably get to see her sister deal with the child a little bit more, in this scene. But Lockhart is keeping Carrie because he wants her to be accountable for what happened, because she's the only person at this point. Sandy was the one that would have been accountable, but she gets to stay.
Question for you guys.
Yes.
Does Lockhart make it through the end of the season?
No.
I don't think so
at all. Not dead or alive, but in his current position.
In his current position,
no.
No. No. We'll definitely talk.
I know we can talk about our predictions, but still.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. So Carrie, in a way to get back to Islamabad, is trying to figure out this whole thing with Sandy, realizes there's something up. She wants to figure this out and finds Harris over at Archives, who was an agent who came to the States and was grounded. And by the way, he's played by Adam.
Fantastic actor, though.
Yeah, Adam Godley. Really, I believe his name is. I wrote it really weird. He was also Elliot Schwartz on Breaking Bad.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So really awesome actor. And we find out, just to get to the point, that he was actually a really good agent who came back with intel about an intelligence leak.
About a leak.
And Lockhart kept them here.
That's the main reason why I don't think Lockhart makes it.
Because
once we learn that.
It's really interesting about Lockhart. Thanks. Because Lockhart seemed kind of capable at the very beginning. And now all of a sudden it's like, no. And we see Dara Dawn talking to Saul, trying to get Saul back
in,
too.
I would love if Saul went back to the
Saul takes it and Dara Dawn moves into an official position.
That'd be good.
I would totally love to see that, too. I think it's totally possible. But so here, let's just narrow. We have very limited time here. So let's just go to what the big questions are right now.
Okay.
So Sandy has a source. We don't know who the source is, but he's been giving them American intel, which is a traitorous act, as Carrie brought up to Lockhart to go back to Islamabad. Mm-hmm. So who is the source? Why did that source give that information about the wedding, to bomb the wedding? Was that for ulterior motives on his end? Was he like giving the U.S. enough information to establish a rapport and then did something?
Maybe like he had beef with Haksani whatever his name is?
Haksani, I believe it is. Excuse me if I messed the name up.
Haksani.
There's a lot going on here. But anyway, so I have a feeling, maybe we'll save that for predictions, but so we have that, and then also, so who's the source, right? Who it was Sandy set up? Okay. Those are the two probably big questions. What is Lockhart giving? What information has Lockhart given away to them?
That's my biggest question.
Yeah.
Who is the masked man, or I don't know if he was masked, but who was the guy who ended up confronting Ayan at the very end?
Yeah, like, came in his room in the middle of the night.
Yeah, because I feel like he's going to come into play. Yeah.
Don't they touch on that, though?
I think they do, So, absolutely. So, we get to see more of this mysterious guy. Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions? Because I know they're going to wrap us up really soon. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, as far as Quinn, is he going to stay in that relationship? Or
is Quinn going to have a baby with said manager lady?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just saying.
Lauren is probably, like I said, Lauren's just rolling around right now. Like, I can't believe it. But anything else before we move on to news and gossip?
No, those are the main questions. I do have one more question. Is there's got to be one more major player on the good side, I think. And I want to know who it's going to be. If it's somebody that's been established or somebody that we haven't even met yet. But I'm really curious to see who they, because there's got to be one more in the fold.
Well, we know, this might be a spoiler, so I'm just going to say it. So close your ears that Farrah comes back. Farrah hasn't been in the first two scenes.
Yeah, they bring back some of the old guys.
So Farrah does come back. As far as any of the other recurring members, I don't know if anyone else really comes back.
So maybe that's what I'm...
She wasn't a major, major player, but she's going to be needed in the Middle East. She's definitely going to be needed out there. So with that, we got, I think, one little news and gossip note that you had, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News. I mean, he's a character on the show.
Even though he's dead now. Yeah, Corey Stahl actually got engaged. I think I read that he got engaged earlier in September, but it was just confirmed today. So he's engaged to Nadia Bowers, which was his long
congrats,
time
man.
Yeah,
congratulations,
so congrats.
Corey.
That's awesome.
Yes.
What a night to confirm it.
What a night to confirm it.
On national TV.
And please stop kidding yourself killed on political thrillers.
Come on, man.
Come on.
You're starting to turn into the Sean Bean of political thrillers, really. So,
he's a fantastic
you're an
actor,
awesome actor. I want to see more of you. I know he's in The Strain also, so I believe he's still alive in that
he's
one.
He's killing it right
now.
Yeah,
he's killing it. So, yeah, he's an amazing, amazing actor.
Pun intended.
Well, he's being killed. But good enough. So let's move on. I think that's all we have for news and gossip. So let's move on to predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz.
It's so quiet.
So eerie for Halloween.
Such an eerie one.
Okay, great. So who wants to go first?
Lexi, ladies first.
Ladies first?
All right.
Pimping around?
You know, I'm really nervous to see what happens with Ion. I hope that I kind of would like to see him become an asset for the CIA. Mm-hmm. And for him to take the good side. But those guys, whoever they were, who came into his apartment,
yeah.
I kind of feel like his roommate, what was it, Raheem. I kind of feel like Raheem might have sold him out. Because you see him in the doorway at the end after those guys leave, and he's kind of just like...
Yeah.
Smiling creepily.
He had a look that said something other than I think that, oh my gosh, I think he knew about it.
Because wouldn't you, if you were a roommate and your apartment just got broken into, wouldn't you freak out?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And he was untouched. He was calm. I think something's up with him.
Okay, interesting. What do you think, Danny?
I'm going to agree with you there 100%. I do think Saul gets out of the private sector.
Yeah.
I think Saul takes over Lockhart's job by the end of the season. And I do think that Carrie's baby comes big into play.
Okay, interesting. I'm not sure about the baby because I feel like most of this season's going to be in the Middle East. So I'm
only
not sure
because
about
they
that.
Alluded to her taking the baby to the Middle East
that's
at one point.
That's true. Well, that's true, too. But definitely Peter and Carrie, I think at some point the relationship's finally going to materialize. We're going to see that. I really do think that whoever this source is, there was a reason why they wanted that bombing to happen.
Yeah.
And it was for their purposes, not to promote the U.S. So it was their way of possibly getting rid of Sandy and also just getting rid of a target perhaps that was... I have a feeling we're going to find out that Haqqani was not the evil mastermind that he set out to be, that maybe he was changing. Maybe he was actually...
Yeah.
Maybe he was shifting, and the actual extremists probably wanted him dead. So they decided to bomb him, and this way they get the U.S. in trouble for bombing a wedding and to get rid of one of their people who might be defecting.
That's a good prediction.
So I think that's going to be really huge. And there was some other stuff, but, you know, I can't think of it right now just because we got the outro music and we know we got to run. We did 2 hours in about 45 minutes, so that's really good. Guys, if you want to continue the conversation, please talk to us on iTunes. You can rate us. We love 5 stars. It really helps us get cast members and whatever else on the show, too. And we'd love to read your comments. Also, you can comment on YouTube or on our AfterBuzz TV site as well.
Or tweet us.
In fact, where can we find you guys? On Twitter.
You can tweet me at Danny Hoyt, DannyHoyt. That's my Facebook and my Instagram and everything.
You can find me on everything at Lexi Hammesfahr, HammesFahr.
Okay, awesome. And you can find Thaddeus, who will be here next week on GQ Jedi on Twitter. And you can find me on Twitter as well at Nandovel, NANDOVEL. And you can find us all here in other shows. I'm doing Walking Dead. I'm doing
SNL in an hour.
So lots of shows you can choose from here. But if you want to catch more Homeland, please tune in next week for another episode. It's going to be really exciting this season. I know it. Thanks a lot.
Congrats, Corey.
Yay. Woo.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.